This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
Final seconds. It's over. It's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.
From the Quicken Loan Studios in Houston, Texas. Quicken Loans. Take advantage of historic low rates. Go to Rocket Mortgage today. Here's your host, 6'1", former Oklahoma Sooner basketball player, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, good evening, and welcome inside the Quicken Loans studios at SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio, and the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker-Campbell. It is so good that you are with us on this Friday night. And up first, it is time to hit the hardwood and a very big weekend with the men's Final Four. It is set. It is ready to get underway on Saturday. Always a true pleasure to have with us at SB Nation Radio. He is a Big E favorite. My guy, Mitch Lawrence. Hello, Mitch.
How you doing? I'm doing great. You're doing all right tonight?
I'm doing great. It's good to have you back with us. We've got a lot to get into. I know typically when we open the invitation and we have you on the show, we talk NBA, and I promise all of our listeners we will get to that. But I want to get your thoughts on college basketball. How did your bracket work out for you? Did it get busted?
Yes, it did, like everybody else.
Oh, bless your heart.
What a Final Four! I mean, yeah. When you got really tremendous teams. Three teams are in terms of the advanced analytics for offense and defense. Three of the teams, North Carolina, Oregon, and Gonzaga, are teams that are ranked in the top 20 in both offense and defense. And Alyssa, in the last 15 years, if you're in the top 20 offense and defense in the advanced analytics, you have a great shot to win the title because all the last 15 champs have been there. And South Carolina, is the only team that isn't, yet they're the number two ranked team defensively. So I think that just points to a tremendous weekend of college basketball. I don't know about you, but I'm an old school fan when it comes to college hoops. And if it could be South Carolina, North Carolina, an old ACC war, because you got to remember South Carolina was in the ACC years ago, that would be just a tremendous thing. I had an opportunity to talk to Mike Dunleavy, played, of course, for the great Frank McGuire at South Carolina.
Oh, my gosh.
And he said to me, he thinks it's fate that they're going to meet on Monday night. So we're all kind of hoping, Frank McGuire, he was a New Yorker, and he used to come up to this area, and he'd recruit a lot of the best New York City players, guys like John Roach and Mike Dunleavy and Kevin Joyce and on and on and on. And that was after he was already at North Carolina. So he's got those connections, too. Donnie Walsh, who's an executive with the Pacers, he coached under Frank McGuire at South Carolina.
Wow.
He played for McGuire at North Carolina. So a North Carolina-South Carolina thing, that would be great for the old ACC fans that a lot of them are still left.
He is back with us, longtime NBA columnist and now host on Sirius XM NBA Radio. He does it all. He writes for the Sporting News and for Forbes magazine. That is Mitch Lawrence. And, when we have you on the program, as I was talking about, I mean, you're an NBA guy, but I have to wonder, throughout the years, Mitch, how many Final Fours have you covered? I mean, we loved having it down here in Houston. Of course, my Sooners were in it, so that was always a good thing.
Well, you know what? The one that I covered that I really enjoyed was the Indiana with Keith Smart making that great game-winning shot against Syracuse. That was, back in 87? I think it was, 30 years ago?
Uh-huh.
Bob Knight, Jim Boeheim. Of course, Billy Donovan was in the Final Four then, the Oklahoma City coach. He was playing for Rick Pitino.
Oh, my gosh.
I think UNLV was the other team that was in the Final Four. That was at the Superdome in New Orleans. Crushing defeat for Jim Boeheim, of course, when he later got Carmelo Anthony. He finally won his title. But what a great moment for Steve Alford, who won his title back then with Indiana and Bob Knight. So that's one I always enjoyed covering and I remembered because it had so much intrigue and interest. And, of course, Steve Alford, a lot of us thought with Lonzo Ball and the team he had, we thought he'd be getting back this year. But, upsets always happen in the NCAA. Look at South Carolina. This is a team that didn't even get out of the SEC tournament quarterfinals. And they make it. They go on this unbelievable winning streak. They got a four-game winning streak going in where they play Gonzaga. And these two teams have never been to the Final Four, as you know. And it's great for all the Gonzaga fans out there because this has been a program on the rise since really the late 1980s, early 90s. And they had guys like John Stockton and Dan Dickow. And just what a great accomplishment for a very small school. It's only got about 8,000 students, private. Compared to the big state schools like North Carolina, like Oregon and South Carolina. No. Gonzaga's a small school, small endowment, So it's great to see them finally make it here.
Well, I'm a Montana girl, so very familiar with Gonzaga. A lot of my classmates ended up going there. Okay, so we started with 68, and it has been narrowed to 4. You said a lot about South Carolina, but North Carolina, they've got some revenge on their mind with last year's championship against Villanova. Yeah. Will they prevail?
Well, they have a great chance. I mean, they've got it all. You know, the way they played, the way that Justin Jackson is one of their top players. He's considered to be a first round pick coming out this year. They can beat you any which way. And if they don't make shots, they always have a chance to get the offensive rebound. Mm-hmm. Murray's a tremendous guard for him, so I wouldn't be surprised. But you know, the thing is that their draw in the other part is Oregon. And you know, when any time a team can beat Kansas in Kansas City at this time of year, which is what Oregon did, they're doing something right. And so I wouldn't be surprised if Oregon pulled the upset, even though they lost their big man, Boucher, I guess his name is. I mean, you can't ask for a better job than the Ducks have done to get this far, and it's great for them. So, you know, that game to me is really a toss-up.
Well, Oregon, South Carolina, Gonzaga, I mean, I have to wonder, too, as far as the experience factor, Mitch. I mean, the distractions that are out there, all the media, the demands. North Carolina, they are very familiar with this. They know exactly how to handle that, scheduling and adjusting to that type of environment. So perhaps that does create some doubt in my mind.
You know what? You raise a good point. Plus, you know, when you play in these big dome stadiums and these big arenas, sometimes the shooting isn't the greatest. We've seen that before. I think even in the case of Houston and a few years ago with Butler, when they couldn't make any kind of shot. So, these guys are making the Final Four for the first time. It's a huge stage for these kids. It's the ultimate deal. There's a lot of pressure on them. So, I think North Carolina, they're tested. They did have that unbelievable game last year against Villanova, the Chris Jenkins shot at the buzzer. You know, that's the only reason they obviously lost. I mean, in the last second deal. So they at least have that experience of playing under pressure, while these other three schools don't. So, I mean, you know, you never know how it's going to work out in this deal with the Final Four. But I think Carolina might, from that advantage, have a little bit of an edge on these other teams.
Well, the other thing, too, is, you know, Mitch, all of these teams have talented players in their system. But I have to wonder, how much does the head coach have a factor in determining what your selection is going to be? I mean, as we, you know, we think of, you know, Roy Williams. I mean, he's a big-time coach. Well, he knows what to expect. Yeah. And in my mind, he does have that advantage.
Yeah, well, you know, he's got a few titles under his belt. Was he going for
just a few?
Yeah, right. And I think that's, you know, he's been to a lot of, big games. He lost one last year. He's won in the past. Mm-hmm. And then you have, you know, Mark Few, who's a coach on the rise. I was talking to Dan Dickow the other day on our Sirius NBA radio show, and he was his first All-American guard at Gonzaga, and he's just so impressed with how Coach Few has just developed. And he's actually progressed as a coach over the last few years in terms of how he's broadened his offense, how he's developed his offense. It's a much more trickier type of attack that they run out of Gonzaga than they did years ago, and he gives them a lot of credit for expanding his game that way. And, you know, Frank Martin and Dana Altman, I mean, these guys have been around, but no, they haven't been to the Final Four, and they haven't coached under the bright lights on the last weekend of the biggest, you know, of the college season. So I think that might be in Roy Williams' favor in some degree.
We're getting ready to move ahead here in just a moment with Mitch Lawrence from SiriusXM NBA Radio. Mitch, connect with our audience. Where can they check you out online and with Forbes and with Sporting News?
Yep, that's where you want to get me. And at Mitch_Lawrence on Twitter also. I appreciate the plug.
Okay, one more quick question, college basketball-wise. Talk to me about Kentucky. What do you think of the job that John Calipari has done?
John Calipari, I mean, he's done a magnificent job. Look at the NBA and all the guys in the NBA, all the stars who have put there. I mean, John Wall is having, you know, since the first month when he's come back from the knee deals, Alyssa, he's had it. You know, he's not going to win the MVP, but he might finish fourth or fifth, which would be his best season. Obviously, after Marcus Cousins and Anthony Davis and Devin Booker and on and on and on. If you just look at the NBA and the rosters, that's where you know that John Calipari, from our standpoint, when you were covering the league, that's a heck of a job because, you know, all these guys are one and done. The Carl Anthony Towns, and they go there for John, and, you know, he's had a lot of success. I know he's only won one title, right? But, hey, let me tell you, he gets these guys to play hard. He gets them. I thought he did some tremendous coaching this year in their games, and, you know, they fell short. But, you know what, he's going to send another bunch of guys to the pros, whether it's Monk or Fox. and they're going to make an impact on the NBA. So I think he's doing pretty well.
All the years, I'm sure that you've interviewed him. What's he like?
Well, John is a guy. He's good. He's good to talk to. He's honest. He's straight. He talks up his guys, but you know what? He really gives you the sense that he really cares about his players and he wants them to see well. But he also knows that mm-hmm. they're there basically to advance to the next level to play NBA basketball. So he doesn't sugarcoat stuff when it comes to that. And I think it's always good to deal with John from that standpoint.
The conversation continues.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, welcome back inside the Quicken Loans studios at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, right here in hour number one. We are going to continue our conversation with Mitch Lawrence from Sirius XM NBA Radio. Another impressive post from you in Forbes talking about the Cleveland Cavaliers. They have certainly slipped and taken a bit of a nosedive in recent weeks. So, Mitch Lawrence, is this a speed bump or are we talking a pothole?
Well, at this point, they're real vulnerable. I mean, you know, I think they're giving a lot of teams confidence, at least those teams in the East, like maybe Washington or Boston or even Toronto, that maybe they can win. I don't know if they can win it. I feel like they're confident enough to listen that they win a series, but maybe they can really draw closer, give more competition than they've had in the past. You know, LeBron's gone to the finals 6 straight years, and it's always kind of a cakewalk for him to get out of the East for the most part. I mean, he's had, you know, opposition before when he was in Miami. Indiana gave him a tough time, but nobody's been able to beat him. So I think the way they're playing defense, their defense is way down. They're one of the worst defensive teams since the All-Star break. I think they're only the Lakers have been worse than they have in terms of efficiency, in terms of their health, in terms of just their whole – if they kind of like are going through a malaise. You know, sometimes these teams, they win a title and then they have a kind of a hangover from that and they don't really start going until the playoff bell rings. I think they're suffering from that. They have a lot of issues to address because right now they're not playing nearly as well as Golden State. They're not playing nearly as well as San Antonio. They're not playing nearly as well as Houston, even the teams in the East. I mean, Washington's been playing better than them. You look at Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Not Miami's done
that. Right.
In a lot of ways, they're playing better. Of course, they're not a better team, but, you know, the Cleveland's not playing well at all. March has been a disaster for them. They've lost 9 of 16 games. So I just don't know if they're going to be able to flip the switch. I think we all think that they will because it's LeBron and Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love. And you start with those three guys, you still have the best team in the East.
Well, certainly some slippage defensively as you're talking about the Cavs. But I thought it was really interesting. You agree with, or do you agree with LeBron calling out the Cavs for the lack of toughness after that loss to the Nuggets? And all of our listeners, you guys got to check out Mitch Lawrence's Twitter at Mitch_Lawrence because you had talked about that. This is a guy that's coming from who takes games off, right?
I know,
lacking
it's
toughness.
Like this, it's like, where's the self-awareness?
Right,
you're taking games off. We know LeBron's going to take games off. That's the demo, and he feels
sure,
he can
sure.
do that. I think a lot of us disagree with that, but okay, he's taking games off, and then after they get, you know, they lose to Denver, he has a problem with his team's lack of toughness, and you hate, I mean, you know, it's just, to me, it was just bad optics on LeBron's part to do that right on the heels of another one of these rest controversies and epidemics that we've seen in the league. So, I mean, look, the Cavs know, they, whether it's Kyrie Irving or anybody on that team, they all know that they have to take their game to the next level. It's not just toughness, but the thing is, you know, when you've won a title, which they did last, you know, only a few months ago, they win the title, did it in historic fashion, come back from a 3-1 deficit. You know what it takes to win. You understand what it takes to win, the commitment. You understand what you need to do defensively, how you have to play together as a team. Cavs know all that. They just have to do it. Now, I'm not saying they're going to flip the switch because it still takes a lot of, not just the mental, but you got to go out there and actually do it. And they have some different parts this year that aren't playing as well. I mean, Tristan Thompson looks like he's been slowed down. I don't know if he's hurt or whatever. The Bogut injury, it got him after, you know, for the stretch run and for the playoffs to give them some size, rim protection, because they don't have Mozgov anymore, who ate up a lot of minutes for him. And Bogut breaks his leg. That's going to hurt him. You don't know how Deron Williams and those other guys are going to, first-timers with the Cavs, are going to do in the playoffs. So there's a lot that's up in the air. And, I mean, we all still think, I mean, a lot of us still think that it's going to be hard for one team to beat LeBron 4 times, you know, in a 2-week stretch in the playoffs. But, hey, let me tell you, I'm sure Boston, Washington, Toronto, whoever it is, maybe it's another team, they'll be raring to go if they have to play the Cavaliers.
Well, and those three teams that you just named, Boston, Washington, and Toronto, you talk about the Eastern Conference. It is much improved, and they truly are. Mitch, they're in a position to pull off an upset.
Well, you know, everybody, all those teams are on the rise. The only problem is, you know, the Toronto team is the team that's gone the deepest in the playoffs. We'll start with them. They went to the conference finals last year. And what could possibly hurt them is they're going to get Kyle Lowry back, but he's got to come back. You know, he had the wrist surgery, and he's got to get better, and he's got to get well and work his way in. DeMar DeRozan's been phenomenal. They've had a tremendous impact from their new acquisitions in Serge Ibaka. T.J. Tucker came in after the All-Star, after the trading deadline. That's good, but they really, like Dwayne Casey says all the time, they live and die with their guards and how well they shoot. And they struggle to score, even with Kyle Lowry playing well. And then you go to Boston, and Isaiah Thomas has had this phenomenal year, and he's definitely going to be, he's going to get some votes for the MVP, not first or second. That's Harden or Westbrook. We all know that, Westbrook Harden. But down the line, maybe third, fourth, or fifth, because he produced in the fourth quarter. But Alyssa, you know, whether he's 5'9", unless your name is Allen Iverson, you know, undersized guys usually don't go that far driving as the number one guy with their team. And Boston doesn't have a lot of size and other scores. And then Washington, I mean, that might be the team that gives Cleveland the most trouble because LeBron can't guard John Wall, and they don't have really anybody who can stay with John Wall. If John Wall gets into a series with Cleveland and he gets support from Bradley Beal in terms of shooting and these other guys, they could be a handful for Cleveland, but they haven't done it before. They haven't been to the playoffs with this particular group, with everybody. They've gone a couple of years ago with John Wall. But, I mean, they got to prove that they, you know, how are they going to prove they can do it against Cleveland? We'll have to see and wait until it finds out. But it's an amazing year because it finally looks like the gap has closed. How far, how much, who knows?
Mm-hmm. So you really think that Washington is the biggest threat to the Cavs?
Well, you know, Scott Brooks has done an amazing
job
down there.
He has, absolutely, yes.
He's really done well. He's related to the players great. Very, very little highs and lows with them on an even keel. And John Wall, since, you know, that first month where he came in and he had the offseason, he had a couple of knee procedures. And since that time, he's been lights out after basically, you know, the start of the new year. Bradley Beal hasn't been hurt for once. He's healthy. Usually he's got problems with his feet, kind of a great number two threat. Look, I'm not saying they'll beat the Cavs, but I think talking to people around the league, they look at John Wall and they go, you know what, John Wall could give Cleveland a very hard time, even more than DeMar DeRozan, even more than Isaiah Thomas. So a lot of people are very, very high. Their stock is rising in the East in terms of who could give Cleveland maybe the most trouble.
We love when he is on the show. From SiriusXM NBA Radio, that is Mitch Lawrence, who's joining us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Connect with us. Join us at Twitter, at eRadio Sports, and you can go back and listen to this very informative interview at podcastarena.com. Okay, quickly, let's head out to the Western Conference. Right here in Houston, is Mike D'Antoni, in your mind, the coach of the year?
He is, yeah. He gets my vote. I mean, Mike's done a phenomenal job, and you know what? That's a great move by Wes Alexander, the owner, and Daryl Morey, the GM. I mean, Daryl Morey might be the executive. They might have Mike as a coach, and they might have James Harden as the MVP. I mean, the thing is that, you know what? Mike had rough times here in New York. He had a rough time out in Los Angeles. He's bounced back. Credit to the Rockets organization for getting, first of all, Mike with James Harden. That's been a tremendous basketball marriage in terms of having James Harden on a real bounce back year, flourish in Mike D'Antoni's system. We know whether it's Steve Nash, whether it's Jeremy Lin, you know, whether it's even Chris Duhon, the guys like that. If you're a point guard in Mike D'Antoni's system, you're going to thrive. And Daryl Morey surrounded him with the great 3-point shooting that you need in Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson. He has Ariza. They bring in Lou Williams as a trade deadline. They got all the weapons. They're playing up tempo. They're playing the type of style that Mike likes and Harden has thrived in. So I think, yeah, Mike has done a tremendous job, and I think he probably, you know, there's going to be Scott Brooks, there's going to be people who actually vote for Eric Spoelstra, because if you look at that Miami team, nobody considers them a playoff team. They might finish as high as seventh in the East. So, as usual, there are four or five guys who are going to get major consideration. But I really do think it's the Mike D'Antoni year.
He knows his stuff. SiriusXM NBA radio host, that is Mitch Lawrence, joining us tonight right here on the Big E Sports Show. Check him out on Twitter, at Mitch_Lawrence. We love having you on. Thank you, Mitch.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You bet. Much more coming your way right here in hour number one at SB Nation Radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, Alyssa Walker-Campbell, welcome back in hour number one inside the Quicken Loans Studios at SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. Before we get underway with our next interview, we would love to hear from you. Join us at Twitter, at E Radio Sports, and you can always go back and listen to all of our interviews. We have amazing hosts here at SB Nation Radio, at our network. Go to podcastarena.com. That's podcastarena.com. Okay, so we opened up talking about the men's Final Four. We talked some NBA. Right now, we're going to completely shift gears. We're going to head out to the West Coast. We're going to talk some NFL because, without a doubt, ladies and gentlemen, it has been a very disappointing week for the Oakland Raider fans, and that is what we're going to address in our next segment. We're going to get the reaction of a historic, a living legend in Oakland Raiders history. He is truly amazing. That is their former quarterback and their head coach, Mr. Tom Flores. Good evening, Tom.
Good evening. How are you?
It's so good to hear you. All is well here in Houston, but it is official, and I immediately thought of you when this went down. I mean, the NFL approves the Raiders' move to Oakland, from Oakland to Las Vegas, and the news hit on Monday. And all I can say is I can only guess or imagine the emotions that you've been experiencing this past week. What's your reaction to the news of the new home in Vegas? And this has got to really hurt.
Well, it wasn't a surprise. The vote was a surprise. I was surprised it was 31-1. With Miami being the only negative vote, I was surprised about that. But the fact that the owners gave their permission, times have changed. In fact, it's interesting because when I think about this move, or pending move, I should say, you reflect and my mind goes back to all the 60s, mid to early 60s, when we played a preseason game against the Houston Oilers in Las Vegas.
Wow!
When I was quarterbacking for the Raiders, and it was kind of funny because both teams stayed at the same hotel, and Al Davis was the coach, and we had our pregame meal. We were getting ready to go to the stadium for the night game, and we were all kind of biding our time, sitting at the same blackjack table playing blackjack together.
Wow. Times have certainly, Coach, they have absolutely changed. But, you know, you think about that in the 60s, but take us back 35 years ago, because this marks the second team departure from Oakland when the Raiders moved to Los Angeles. So what do you remember about that particular move? What can you share with our listeners about that?
Well, that was, we had the threat had been there. Allen had been talking about moving, and all of a sudden he decided, well, that he had no choice but to move the team because they were not willing to spend any money to improve the stadium to the quality of the National Football League at that time. This was 1979, 1980. So we, fortunately, in 80, we won a Super Bowl. But in 81, we were the lame duck team and playing in Oakland, getting ready to leave. And, we still had fans. We didn't have a very good season that year. We kind of went flat. But we still had some fans in the stands knowing that the team was going to leave right after that season. Now, having said that, I'm not sure how the fans are going to be this time because we got 2 years left in Oakland.
Right.
And this is the second time that the Raiders have done that, so I'm not sure how the fans are going to react in that respect.
Well, I want to get into that here in just a moment. Of course, we are going one-on-one with Raiders legend. He is a winner, in fact, won two Super Bowl championships with the Raiders, the great Tom Flores, joining us tonight as we are inside the Quicken Loans studios at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. So in your mind, Tom, why do you think the NFL was not satisfied with the proposals for the stadium in Oakland? I mean, what was missing that they weren't able to solidify and make a deal and move forward and keep it in its home base?
Well, I don't know because I'm not involved in any of the negotiations, or I have not read any of the proposals. My feeling from afar, with some knowledge of what goes on inside the doors, is that Oakland came up too late. I mean, I had not heard. I've been asking for every year during the season when I'm on the plane with some of the executives. Anything going? Anything going? Nope. Anything going? Nope. And they had never had anything of this nature from the city of Oakland and the county there until just recently when they finally came up with what it looked like a legitimate offer or proposal on the outside, but obviously there were a lot of things missing.
Okay, so
too late, maybe.
Too late, yeah. So, Tom, talk to me about in terms of Las Vegas, the new place for this for the Oakland Raiders. And what comes to my mind immediately is I kind of think, you know, this is a bit dangerous. I mean, there's so many temptations. Can Vegas sustain an NFL franchise?
Well, that's to be proven, I guess, or disproven. The players are players. You know, during the season, I don't think it's going to be an issue. Nowadays, during the season, the players are pretty ingrained in how they work. They show up to work, you know, almost a lunch pail. The type of situation where they come in early in the morning and they don't leave until late in the afternoon. And that's a normal week. But during the off season or during their idle time,
right,
that's the stuff that you worry about or that's the stuff that you think about it. And where are their families going to live? Are their families going to move there? Obviously, the coaches have to. But the players don't have to other than during the season. So I think a lot of that has to remain, just remains to be seen, and the players have to kind of feel their way, as do the members of the organization.
Well, you're a championship coach. You know exactly what it takes to keep your guys focused. And I have to wonder in terms of, you know, players being targeted and then all the distractions that are there. And what will the NFL do, you think, to protect your athletes? Because Las Vegas, it's a very unique city. It's unlike any other.
Well, you know, the thing is, players go there anyway. They go there every year. They go there. They go there on their time off. They go there Super Bowl Sunday. The city is filled with former players and current players, hosted by a lot of the casinos, hotels. There's a lot of great restaurants, great entertainment. You know, it's not just gambling, although
right.
Gambling is the center of why it's there. And I think gambling is treated a lot differently. You got fantasy football. We played in London 2-3 years ago, mm-hmm. and there was gambling on every corner. So gambling is here. You're not going to get away from gambling.
Could you envision this being a future, you know, it could potentially host the Super Bowl one day? What would that be like? What do you think?
Well, that would be big because it doesn't get much bigger than the Super Bowl. You talk about a city that's prime and ready for it with all the hotels. Because the Super Bowl is not really a hometown city game, because it's a corporate game. It's a mm-hmm. everybody from all over the world comes to the Super Bowl. So that's the epitome of all games, really.
Raiders legend. He won 2 Super Bowl championships. Of course, Tom Flores is with us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We'd love for you to chime in. We would love to hear from you tonight. Join us at Twitter at E Radio Sports. And, you know, your relationship with the Raiders owner, Mark Davis, have you had an opportunity, Tom, to visit with him? I mean, I'm sure that he's conflicted. He's probably very excited, obviously, about the bright lights of Vegas, but his heart's got to, you know, feel and breaks for Raider fans.
Well, Mark, you know, from way back when, he made a comment. I remember making a comment that he did not want to move. He would like to stay in Oakland if possible.
Mm-hmm.
But after, you know, months and months and months of nothing happening, I don't think he had a choice. I think he had to go where it looked the best for the team. And where they could succeed the best. And I think he's done a good job with the people that he's hired, Reggie McKenzie and Jack Del Rio, et cetera, people that have brought this team back where it's now a playoff team with the future looking very bright. This is a monumental move,
yeah,
especially for him, and you know, who has not been in charge of this organization very long.
Stick around. Much more coming your way in hour number 2, the fastest 2 hours in radio at SB Nation Radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, Alyssa Walker Campbell, welcome back. In hour number one, inside the Quicken Loans studios, always a true pleasure to have Raiders legend, won two Super Bowls. He is truly amazing, Tom Flores, with us here at SB Nation Radio and on the Big E Sports Show. What do you think the Raider fans, what they are experiencing right now? And do you think that they're going to, you know, follow, continue and be allegiant with the team being now in Las Vegas?
I think some will, some won't. I think right now it's like me. I'm sad. Because of the legacy that we're leaving behind, of all the great moments that we're leaving behind,
right.
The history of this franchise that will never be, replicated. You know, it's a new world. But I'm also excited on what the future has and as far as where they're going, because there's some excitement involved in that. There's always excitement in newest. Just like when we went down to Los Angeles, I was excited about that, even though I lived in a hotel for 14 months.
Oh my gosh!
But it was exciting. But you know, when you're involved in playing or coaching, your world goes with you. Your football world, you know, your family, football family goes with you. So you're doing the same thing you did where you were. The people that are affected the most are the families. The outsiders, you know, the people that work for the organization that need to move their location. Players don't have to move. They can just move during the season. Coaches have to move. So those are the people that are affected, and that's where the style will change. The style of living will change. But, you know, the one thing that they'll enjoy is they'll enjoy the no state income tax.
Yeah.
That's about 11% right there in their pocket.
Speaking of change, dynamic change has really taken place in the NFL. These new trends, I mean, seeing franchise, you know, we've seen franchise moves with the Rams, the Chargers, and now the Raiders. You have to wonder, let's step back for just a moment, Tom. I mean, I think about the fans, the customer base, the emotions that they are experiencing. You know, how do they factor into all of this? What about their loyalty through the years and keeping, you know, a team in place?
Well, that's where the sadness comes in, because these are loyal fans. I had a friend of mine call, and he said, I'm heartbroken. And and I can understand, because you know, to go to a game for him was magical.
Yeah.
He won't be able now to go. He won't be able to afford to go to Vegas. He might be able to afford maybe one or two games a year, but that's about it. So it's that's where it hits you the hardest, and you see the heartbreak and the sadness. And they'll be mad at us like they were when we moved before. They'll be angry, but they'll still love us. Whether they support us in Oakland, I don't know. And it's going to the composition of the fans, the people that fill that stadium, it's going to change. There's no question about that. It's going to change, because you're not going to have the same type of fan you had in Oakland.
You think the Bay Area fans, you think they're going to show up, show support? And what do you think their reaction is going to be? Will they abandon their team?
No, I don't think they will.
Okay.
I think some will, but I don't think they will as a whole. They're diehard Raider fans. But once again, will they be able to go to every game? I don't know. That's hard to say. There'll still be some that travel from L.A. and from Oakland and from all over the country, really. I think the main people that will fill the stadium will be the guests at the various casinos around town.
Okay, Tom, so kind of give us the X's and O's if some of our listeners are just dialing in. You know, when is this move going to take place? So the Raiders will stay put next year, and then it's next season that they will make the move. From what I understand, the Oakland Stadium landlord, he prefers that the Raiders leave by 2019.
Yeah, the Raiders have signed a two-year lease with an option maybe for a third. The stadium, my understanding, in Vegas, you know, they haven't even broken ground yet, will be ready for sure, I think, in 2020. That's 3 years. I don't see them staying in Oakland for 3 years. I think they'll make some accommodations maybe at the college stadium there, and for an interim year. When we moved to L.A. the first time, we had a place to play right away. Oh, yeah. So that wasn't an issue. Mm-hmm. And we actually stayed in Oakland the first year and just flew down for home games in Los Angeles. But that's not the situation here because, they have to play in Oakland. There's a lot of things that still have to be decided. I mean, it's a long laundry list. You know, how do you practice? Where do you practice?
Right.
How much money, will the stadium even be fit for a game on Sundays because the city of Oakland is not going to put any money into it?
Hey, Tom Flores has been with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. You join us at Twitter at eRadio Sports. One more question, Tom. Give us the pulse on quarterback Derek Carr. How is his recovery coming in the offseason? Can you kind of give a sense of how he is progressing and how he's doing?
Well, everything I hear is good. Everything I hear is he's come along fine.
Okay.
And knowing him, he's such a great young man that is very emotional about what he does and how he does it, very spiritual about his life. So whatever has to be done to get ready to play, I would bet you that he 100% that he's doing it.
Always a true pleasure to have Raiders legend won two Super Bowls. He is truly amazing. Tom Flores with us here at SB Nation Radio and on the Big E Sports Show. Thank you so much, Tom. Have a wonderful weekend. I hope you can go tee it up, okay?
Okay, you got it. Thank you.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way in hour number two, the fastest 2 hours in radio at SB Nation Radio.